Living with climate change. Climate change is already upon us, and it will get worse. The planet will continue to warm even without any further emissions, and further emissions are certainly on the way. Many countries have already begun to experience the consequences of climate change. More droughts, as in the U.S. Southwest, the African Sahel, and Australia. Heat waves, notably in Europe. Rising tropical storm intensity, as with Hurricane Katrina. A widening transmission belt for malaria, and more. Countries need to invest in adaptation to climate change alongside their critical investments in mitigating the emissions. Adaptation and mitigation are not alternatives. Both are needed. Adaptation will be required in several spheres of life. Coastal regions will have to protect themselves against rising sea levels and more intense storms and storm surges. This will involve physical infrastructure and disaster preparedness. Highland tropical regions, which are currently too elevated to experience malaria transmission because of cooler temperatures, must protect themselves against the epidemics that could arise. Farmers everywhere will require new seeds that are adapted to the changing climate. They must be more heat-resistant, for example, or able to withstand torrential rains in the equatorial regions and more droughts and water stress in the semi-arid regions. Climate uncertainties will require new forms of insurance, but they will also put strain on traditional insurance contracts that may have been priced according to out-of-date assumptions. In the worst cases, such as those described in Chapter 5, water stress may render some regions no longer farmable, and perhaps no longer even livable. Environmental refugees could destabilize nations and global politics, as desperate people, especially in rural areas, crowd into cities or across national borders. Such problems are bound to arise. They will be vastly more manageable to the extent that we also manage global cooperation on climate mitigation, population policies, and poverty reduction, and to the extent that special international funding is available to poor countries to manage the adaptation process. Moreover, a new science and profession of climate change adaptation must be encouraged, given the scale of the change and dislocation that lies ahead. A strategy for global climate cooperation. We have seen how climate change is a truly global problem. Every country shares some responsibility, albeit to a widely varying degree, for the rise in CO2 emissions, retrospectively, bringing us from the pre-industrial 280 parts per million to 380 parts per million today, as well as prospectively. No part of the world will be spared the consequences of global warming. This truly global problem requires a global action plan. Of course, there is nothing new in this insight. The UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC, was adopted in the year 1992 by the world's governments for exactly this purpose. President George H.W. Bush adopted the treaty on behalf of the United States, and the U.S. Senate duly ratified it shortly after, in 1994, agreeing to the treaty's objective to stabilize greenhouse gas concentrations to avoid dangerous anthropogenic interference in the climate system. The problem is not the framework or purpose, but the implementation. The UNFCCC needs a protocol for action, and the first of such protocols was the Kyoto Protocol adopted in 1997 and to prevail until 2012. The Kyoto Protocol divided the world between high-income rich, Annex 1, and developing, non-Annex 1, signatories of the UN Framework Convention. The rich countries are required by the protocol to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by at least 5% during the commitment period 2008 to 2012, compared with the baseline of 1990. The poor countries are not bound by any obligations, but they have some opportunities under the protocol to receive payments for voluntarily adopted emission-reducing projects. The Kyoto commitments were very modest, a 5% reduction, and short-term, till 2012. At best, the treaty formed a very early step to set the world on a carbon management trajectory. Even so, the protocol generated a political firestorm in the United States. The so-called Byrd-Hagel Senate resolution, passed 95-0 in 1997 in the lead-up to the final round of negotiations on the Kyoto Protocol, held that the disparity of treatment between Annex I parties and developing countries and the level of required emission reductions could result in serious harm to the United States economy. The resolution thereby made it the sense of the Senate that the United States should reject any new commitments that did not also limit the developing countries. The resolution exemplifies the declining sense of global responsibility felt by U.S. politicians, because it conveniently, and even self-righteously, puts aside the small detail that the United States, with just 5% of the world's population, accounts for 1/4 of the world's emissions. Here is the United States, far and away the biggest contributor to greenhouse gas emissions, indignantly telling poor countries bearing the consequences in famines, droughts, increased malaria transmission, and more, that the United States will not even start on emissions control because the developing countries are not yet bound to do so. In the end, the Kyoto Protocol was adopted by the rest of the world, with the United States refusing to ratify it. President Clinton never sent it to the Senate for ratification, fearing immediate defeat, and President George W. Bush rejected it out of hand at the start of his administration. Strangely, though, President Bush went much further than that, even denying until 2007 the climate science his father had endorsed 15 years earlier. The prevarication on this issue was reckless. It went far beyond mere dissatisfaction with specific elements of the protocol, and it marked an inexcusable assault on evidence and science itself. The world recoiled at the Bush administration's brazen neglect of the risks of climate change. Most Americans did as well, after they experienced the climate disaster of Hurricane Katrina.